we're
and financing of all of that to go through.
So, so the other bit, the other bit, the sort of biggest risk areas and the biggest risk areas to the finance thing are actually on the funding side, really. So this is the sort of the nub of where our risk sits. So if I was to sort of quickly run down these numbers. So the first one is revenue support grant. So we know that this number was sort of 2, 3, 4 million not very long ago. So we're getting £165,000 next year, and after that the RSG disappears. So we can be pretty certain about that. Business. So the big thing that's happening in local government finance, it's happening now, but there is a fair funding review, and obviously there's two or three things that two or three things or factors that will result in what we actually finally get. So there's where the government is in terms of tax receipts and its ability to make public expenditure or allocate public expenditure. That's number one. The second part of that is, and you take a guess on that, the second part of that is what portion of that allocation goes towards local government, and again, how does local government fight against police and sort of other bits of the Home Office and foreign aid, etc., etc. And then within that local government pie, it's what slice goes to districts and to Charlwood in particular. So obviously, counties and unitaries, MEPs, they obviously have adult social care and children's service responsibilities. Those are under pressure, so it'll be a quite a tricky situation as to who gets what. So there's all those unknown factors. They're developing the formula now. We expect it to come out in late 2019 alongside a new mechanism for business rates funding. So again, there's lots of detail on this, but at the moment, in theory, we receive 50% of our business rate collection. It's actually about 9% by the time the calculations work through. Mm-hmm. From 2020 and 2021, it'll be a 75% retention scheme, but I expect the numbers to work in a similar way, such that we won't get anything like 75% of the total 46 million we collect. So we don't know how that's going to pan out. Now, that the way the results of the fair funding review will essentially be reflected in this business rates funding line. So next year we've got a figure of 5,125. We do have some consultants who sort of read the runes coming out of the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government on a regular basis, and their sort of projection at the moment is we'll sort of get inflationary type increases from business rates. So hence the 5,125, 5,300, 5,480 data set. Difficulty is from 2021, if the government assesses our funding need as something very, very different, then actually all bets are off. So although in 1920 that funding side we're relatively comfortable with, that's not to say those numbers will be spot on, but we're pretty comfortable with those orders of magnitude. The following years, much more in the air. The other biggie is the new homes bonus. So again, we know how the calculation works. We know we've got a reasonable idea that we've got good housing growth in the housing growth in the borough, whether you would regard it as good or not, maybe a matter of taste, but we've got housing growth in the borough. So we know that next year the new homes bonus we'd like to get is going to be in the order of £4 million. The government have carefully said there is no guarantee the new homes bonus scheme is going to continue beyond 2020-21. So those next numbers, which are based on strong levels of housing growth, 4,630 and 5,215, in a very worst case scenario, the government could completely turn off that funding. Now, there's various ways they might mitigate that by tapering the new homes bonus scheme or running it down on a more gradual basis, or reflecting that new homes bonus money within the overall business rates funding line as part of our baseline funding need. So those are possibilities, or in general, the government might come up with some sort of transitional grant so that our funding doesn't come off a cliff and it sort of goes on a more gradual basis. But those two lines, business rates funding and new home bonus, are the big risk numbers that we have in 2021 and 21-22. The other numbers, council tax and Loughborough special rate, the way the government's capping rules work is that although the increase can vary between one and the other, in total the maximum we can raise council tax is £5 a property, or 3%. So it's given the charm of roughly low council tax, it's £5 a property, and those numbers there in totality reflect the combination of housing growth plus an assumption that we'll be maximising the amount that we can we can raise council tax by. So
I just ask on that, with all of the new build that's going on, the planning department, and it's not a criticism, I understand the problems they've got, are not able to monitor the build or what have you, to kind of, you know, chase up when the people who's in them. Because from the day you're in, you start paying your council tax.
Yeah.
But got an example in my ward where there's been a development that's been there for a couple of years, and like the planning department didn't even know the houses had been built. So I don't know about where council tax or whatever have you comes into it. So to me, it would seem more sensible. I mean, it would pay for itself if planning had a dedicated officer who was actually going around checking these sites. Day one, somebody's moved in, you get your council tax form through your letterbox, because that's income for us. That connection doesn't seem to be happening to me.
Okay, I can't answer that specifically. I did think there was a process of when new houses come on stream where we are supposed to be notified. In reality, if someone's been living in a property for a period of time, even if they don't get a bill, if we know they've been occupying the house for a year without having paid the council tax, there's no reason why we couldn't recover it retrospectively. Obviously, from an individual, it's may not be a great letter to get, but I don't think there's any reason why.
But they wouldn't
difficult.
Have that bin
vented,
though, would they? Well, I don't know how it works.
They just go down the road.
I don't know the detail about how that triggered.
But no, we don't know.
It's not the detail, it's the kind of the principle.
I believe we should. I mean, to be honest, the bigger issue, one of the bigger issues is houses that don't get built because they're on the... That creates a big problem for us, and that's you know, revenue that we could be getting if the developers did proceed with development. That's a slightly a bigger problem.
So on the revenue part, any further questions on this part?
I have a bunch of questions.
Mary Ann, sorry.
Just on the Loughborough special rate, on the explanation on page 24, if I've got it right, it's assuming that there'll be no increase or anything. The meeting is yet to be held to discuss the Loughborough special rate. So what would happen if, like, there was a growth bid or there was a consideration about new spend?
This document is sort of a high level strategic document, so it doesn't tie the council into setting the Loughborough special rate of this or that. The actual setting of the Loughborough special rate comes to council in February, so it certainly doesn't tie anyone into anything at the moment. I think, in a way, because of the way the capping rules work, we could have presented this as a small increase in the Loughborough special rate offsetting the £5 in the main borough rate. So if you looked at, for example, at 21-22, we've got 7791 and 1259. We could easily have had a scenario where it's something like 1.3, and then, my maths isn't brilliant, then 7750 or something. So the numbers would offset each other, but in total those two numbers would have to add up to the same one, but the Loughborough special rate number could be higher and the borough council tax rate could be lower. It's just assumed as zero, partly for convenience and partly where we are on the Loughborough special expenditures notional reserves. So But again, it's just an assumption, and it doesn't tie anyone to anything at this stage.
Okay, I mean, this goes back to the fact we haven't got the cabinet lead here, because I would say to the cabinet lead, you know, reading that sentence to me would seem straight away that any discussion that the Loughborough special rates meeting had about a possible growth bid, it's going to be turned down at full council straight away. And the reason they'll give is because, well, we haven't budgeted for it and it's fait accompli and blah de blah. Whereas had it been saying there's a possibility, or, you know, there's a possibility of an allowance for a moderate amount, but I can see the cabinet lead looking at that and just going, well, no, in the paper it says that it's going to stay the same, so we're not going to entertain it. I just think that's the question I'd have asked the cabinet lead if they were here. You know, is that the case? So if that could be minuted, that would be appreciated, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Chair.
I have a number of questions. Just for Brenda's benefit, the interest paid last year, the outturn was £285,000 against a budget of £115,000. Hence my concerns. So, but it was about £285,000 last year.
Okay.
So, number of questions, Simon, just for various bits, and I might work bottom up because I sense the questions might get trickier the way we go. So, in the outturn last year, we showed a contribution from the collection fund of £431,000. We're now showing a deficit of £200,000 going into 1920. What causes a £600,000 turnaround in that particular line?
Well, I don't know the, you know, I haven't got the reconciliation detail. The collection fund is a very difficult and technical area. So I think last year we assumed that we would have a bigger deficit than we actually had. And the key reasons why the collection fund is so volatile, so what the collection fund is really is the difference between what we think we're going to collect in terms of council tax and what we do collect. And actually, on that number, we're usually fairly close. So that the council tax element is 20 to 30,000. And then what we think we're going to collect on business rates and what we actually do collect. And the problem we have with business rates is there's two or three difficulties. So one is the government regulations on business rate relief sometimes come through later on in the year, so rather than receiving business rates through the business rate system that flows through the collection fund, we actually get compensated through section 31 grant, so as a separate grant aspect of it, which makes it complicated. The other big and probably the main issue is to do with business rate appeals. So when the business rate regime started in about 2014, as well as the government giving us a business rate target to collect, they also made us liable for appeals. And what we assume on appeals makes a huge difference to where we think we are within the collection fund, which actually gives us sort of big swings and big fluctuations. So, for example, doctors or the NHS, or I'm not quite sure who actually initiated it, but there was some legal action taken on behalf of doctors to enable or to require that doctors' surgeries be given a big amount of rate relief, so 80% relief being sort of a charitable type organisation organisation that would qualify for that relief, and that sort of resulted in having to create a £2.25 million provision based on what we thought we had outstanding in terms of doctor provisions. Over the year that sort of washes through, and I think actually we didn't end up paying £2.25 million when we paid £1.4 million, because it's a question of who appeals and what we actually award. But the problem is there are quite a few of these things around. We've got lots of big appeals that have not been settled dating back to 2010, typically with a big supermarket. So actually what we assume in terms of appeals makes a big difference to what happens with the collection fund. So it is a bit of a black art, but based on what we know and where we think we are with appeals, then 200,000 is our what we regard as a reasonable projection at the moment. I hesitate to say guess, but collection fund is very much a black art.
Well, there is a lot hidden behind that.
Is that how we handled it in audit?
Sorry?
Is that how we handle it in audit when it comes to the accounts? I thought we had a fixed provision for the business rate for the appeals. I thought we had a fixed amount that we had agreed in audit. I'm trying to rack my brain for the audit decision.
Right, so
it's not aligning for me.
No, this... There's two bits of the... There's two bits of the provision. So there's the provision based on appeals up until the 2010 list. So we've got outstanding appeals relating to the 2010 business rate revaluation and the 2005, even back to 2005, business rates revaluation. So they are specific amounts based on specific...
That we've fixed in the accounts. The auditors have accepted the level we fixed that at.
They've accepted it in totality. Yeah. So that's one element of the provision.
But this is near horizon variation is
so
what you're saying
other,
to me. It's
other,
the answer.
The other element of the provision is, I think, as you described, the fixed amount. So within the 2017... revaluation and the business rates multiplier which is the sort of 48 to 49 pence in the pound based on your rate of value is what you would get charged business rates. Within that, the government state that they've made, because they're expecting a certain number of appeals, they've stated that I think 2 or 3% of that could be regarded as amounts that we could appeal. So based on this very limited amount of information since 2017, we've been adding to our provision based on this particular guidance. Now, of course, the Valuation Office is very much behind in its work, so in terms of actually determining these appeals. So what we've got an issue this coming year in that given that we don't know anything about appeals against the 2017 valuation list, the logic suggests we increase our appeals again by a very significant lump, but then the provision starts to look really, really large and difficult to justify, even though in a way the calculation works, that would be the logic of it. So, we have to take a judgment and see what other information we can get from anywhere to try.
By summarising all that is in the longer term, with the longer term provision, what we've done in audit committee with the accounts is we have adequate provision for our liability. What you're saying, my interpretation of what you're saying to me, is this is near horizon fluctuations within that particular account, which I need to be cognizant of, because over 2 years that's a fluctuation of 600,000, so that's significant within the overall amount, so I need to watch that. So that's just kind of what I'm flagging.
If you'd have spoken to me 2 or 3 years ago, I was hoping that by this time we would have a much better view of the provisioning. But given that where we are, we've still got an enormous backlog
of the appeals,
We don't know anything about where we are on the 2017 list. We've basically got no information about
its risk, and we need to address
so,
it.
So again, what we're assuming, if you look at 2021 and 2022. We're assuming essentially that things get sorted out next year, and we base 50,000 in the scheme of the amount of money flowing through is pretty much break even. So that's assuming a break even position that things get sorted out. But that may in itself be an optimistic assumption that in 18 months' time we know enough about the provisions to understand that. So that may continue, I'm afraid.
Next line up. New homes bonus.
Can I just ask a question on that, because I found that really interesting. So, because we have a paper. So there's a lot of businesses out there that are making claims
yes.
and can get 80% off their business rates.
So charities
they can claim their charitable
academy,
status.
So academies has been an issue, and doctors' surgery. So there is a rule. So again, it's like an onion skin. So I think it's only purpose built doctor surgery. We've obviously got a lot of
Some of these are national issues, which are going on nationally.
I'm just thinking that as a council, because our revenue support grant is likely to finish soon, we've got to be self-sufficient.
Yes.
So things like business rates, we need to maximise and get as much as possible. But if you've got people out there who are claiming charitable status and getting 80% off, and I also know that applies to universities.
Yes, it does.
We've got a massive university.
Yes, we have.
They get 80% off.
Yes, we do.
And to my mind, this is personal view, and I know this is public, but I don't regard them as a charity. I regard them as a business, right? Yet, were we to get 100% as a council, we could deliver more services and what have you. Just seems to me there's a huge loophole out there nationally, I accept, right, where certain businesses can claim I'm a charity and I get 80% off my business rates.
One of the big issues we have in Charnwood was that the baseline set, assuming that we had AstraZeneca as part of our as a totality of our
business rate
collections, that one site was at that time worth £2.25 million in gross business rates a year. Now we only get a portion of that, but nonetheless that would probably have been worth £200,000 to this borough.
Yeah.
But the unfortunately the government noted AstraZeneca, or they looked at the totality, said yes, that's a Charnwood target, and then AstraZeneca unfortunately vacated the site 3 weeks later, so that's left us in a slightly more challenging position on business rates than some others. But there are other issues with business rates. It's a complete other conversation. So if you've got a power station or there are things
airport,
that have been, there are things where the government says that's not within your local list, what we would collect is in a national list. So things like infrastructure, I think some of the BT accommodation, I think power stations have been removed from local to national list.
Hence the piloting of containing the business rates, so we can see.
So did the government then eschew the figures run with the assumption that AstraZeneca was still trading?
They assume. I guess they get the rating lists and at a point in time. They say, right, here's the list. This is the Charnwood list. There's a line. So that based on that, this is what Charnwood's. It sort of works backwards, but this is what Charnwood should collect, and then this is the this is Charnwood's share.
So it won't be corrected until the next year, and you've already paid 11.
Well, that happened a few years ago, but our baseline funding is still based on that figure. So the government may rebase things going forward, and again, this again is quite political. So when you rebase the business rates, do you actually sort of set it all back to zero, or do you reward councils with growth? So that's a sort of political thing on how it gets distributed, how the rebasing works. Do you favour, because in a way, obviously the council, you like to think we're responsible for growth, but in reality some of it's luck. So there's some councils that might sort
just
of grow more.
Just for me, because I'm, you've just said maths wasn't your strong point. I'm very good at maths. But when I look at these figures, they mean absolutely nothing to me. I try to add them up and that's the sort of things I do. So just to rewind a bit, so it's still assumed that AstraZeneca is
essentially that's the case.
And until it's reset, do we make a case for it to be reset, or is it just something that happens periodically?
It happens
when.
So it is. It was alleged it was going to happen every 5 years or 10 years, but since the regime started, we don't know that it is going to happen for certainty. It may happen. Logically, you might think it would be sensible to happen from 2021 when the new 75% business rate retention comes to pass. So as a clean slate, you might think that that's something that would happen at that point in time. But again, part of the rebasing is a lot of work, and for people like the valuation office who...
We'd like it to stay then, though, because we'd have 75% of what they're not paying.
What we could actually do with is that the government look at baselines, and no one's in that site, and they make their calculations on us accordingly, and then someone occupies that site the next day, so we then claim business rates that the government didn't think we were going to have. Mm. But the government, there's various proposals, and they may summarise the appeals, and it may be based on what the government says we're going to get, and then the top-ups and tariffs will just be sterilised to come up with a number, and we won't have that risk. But again,
Next question. I'm conscious of time. We've spent
30
minutes on this.
Next line up. Some of this is partly ratios and consideration. So new homes bonus.
Yeah.
Next line up. So in the 2 years that correlate to last year's MTFS and this year's, we've got almost 2 million more in new homes bonus.
Yes.
And I presume we're not getting more per house. So I presume that's because we're saying loads of houses. Now, I'm unsure, and in a one line someone could tell me where in the process we get paid the new homes bonus. However, my concern is how that then relates to the relative increase in council tax receipts, because the two don't correlate. Massive increase in new homes bonus in 1920. We're actually decreasing the amount of council tax receipt that we forecast last year, but massively increasing the amount of new homes bonus. That doesn't correlate to me.
Yeah.
And similarly, the correlation between those two doesn't correlate to me going forward.
So
if you go to page 27, for example, it says the net additional profit is 877.
Yeah.
And it gives us 3.6 million in new homes bonus, and so on for the next year and the next year, next year. So those extra 877 houses should give us X amount more council tax. And if you add that on to the base council tax
this year, it should be less.
That should equal that, but it doesn't equal this down here.
No, but won't that go on then 3 years later?
So the council tax projections do assume that housing will grow as well. So they are actually consistent calculations. I think the new homes bonus has a lot bigger impact, because the new homes bonus for every new house in every year gains us 80% of a standard banded D amount. So that gains every house. So if we have a house in 1 year, or a new house, we get 80% of a standard band D amount for the next 4 years, so that's actually about £1,300 a house.
So it doesn't make sense, Simon, with last year's figures. That's my point. Last year's new homes bonus prediction for 1920 was 3,287. That was deemed to generate 6,933 of council tax last year. The same year now, we're getting 700,000 more in new homes bonus, but less council tax. Mm.
So
that doesn't work.
Where's the council tax receipts gone?
That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm. So maybe that's a written answer back from the head of finance.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not quite sure where.
I'm looking at the MTFS last year for 1920. Mm. The same year we're looking at as the first year of this year's MTS.
Yeah.
MTFS last year for the year 1920, we said the new homes bonus was going to be 3.287 million.
Yeah.
We said that would generate 6.933 million in council tax receipts. We've now increased the new homes bonus for the same year by 700,000, and we've reduced the council tax receipts.
Mm.
That does not make sense to me.
Okay. All right. So those
houses being occupied will pay council tax, and that will be a receipt to us.
Yeah. So the other thing is the new homes bonus.
Is it that we don't receive all the council tax ourselves? 80% goes to the county.
So new homes bonus, we get 80% of the band D, so that's about £1,200 a house. Council tax on the council tax base, don't forget, it's only worth about £100, £100 a house, £115, depends on what sort of house it is. I think our standard band D for the borough is about £117.50. So new homes bonus is worth
We understand that. What Jeff's question was is that
the ratios don't work.
We've increased the new home.
We've built more homes, we're getting less money.
And we're getting less money
from council tax receipts. The numbers don't correlate.
So I don't know the specific answers, but there are other factors.
It's an anomaly in the figures, basically.
Well, there are other things around council tax receipts, so there are other assumptions in there around localisation of council tax support, and it's probably the main one, another release we may offer. So, and then also what we assume in terms of non-payment. So if we increase the non-payment,
I can't believe it's at the scale of the amount difference the new homes bonus makes relative to a decrease in council tax.
Jeff, I think what we'll do is we'll note that question, and we'll ask Michael to ask it of Claire before she goes, if that's possible.
Yeah.
And ask for a written answer back. Is that okay?
Yeah.
On that one, thank you.
So don't forget the differential is the impact of the new houses on the overall council tax base is low.
No, that's fine. Any other questions on this bit before we move on? Conscious of time, we've only got probably about another half hour realistically.
I've got a question, we haven't mentioned it yet, and it's on page 31, and it's about investments.
Yeah.
I remember I asked a question about this at council, and it was in line.
The second paragraph, is it?
Second paragraph, investment in commercial assets. We invest in a lot of things, amazingly, and I just wondered, why don't we put an emphasis on investing locally more? I mean, we've got business units. There must be things that we can invest in locally to help our, town centre and what have you. And I can't remember the list. I've seen it of what we do invest in. And so it's quite wide-ranging. I just would like us to start thinking about investing more locally in things. And I know we have to get a return and what have you. But I'm sure doesn't take a genius to kind of start to work that out a bit more. I'd just like to throw that up for consideration and for it to be in the minutes and possibly looked at in the future.
Yeah, I mean, we don't invest the investment in commercial assets. We've got assets like garages and stuff, so some small scale stuff. But this paragraph is
treasury.
Large scales. It's got scale investments of which we don't have any at the moment. So it is actually, I think, one of the policy decisions we would make is whether we would invest outside the borough or within the borough. And, I couldn't tell you what that answer might be.
I thought I've seen a list of investments, and some of it's banks and some businesses.
So on financial instruments, yes. So that's a number of things. We do loan money to other local authorities, but in terms of this, in actual terms of physical assets, other than the things like the business units we have and garages, we don't actually, as far as I'm virtually certain, that we don't own any assets that are not in the borough.
Two separate things.
Okay. I just one very quick for me to understand. Going back to page 32 and the first question that I asked about the commercialisation and the new venture. You've got 10,000 there in brackets, so it's a deficit of 10,000.
Yeah.
It's a negative. But then, see, this is how I don't understand these things. Then we go to page 35, and the deficits are not in brackets.
Right.
It's the other way around, and that took me quite a while to balance it out in my mind. That's why I asked that question at the beginning.
Right.
Seeing that one in brackets just threw me completely.
Right. Okay.
Do you know what? Is there a reason they are different? Is it?
It's just a presentational thing. So yeah, apologies for that. I suppose to make them consistent, we would have to present everything in that table in brackets apart from that 10,000. What the 10 means is it's a minus figure, so...
Yet in these, the brackets mean of 35, it's a positive figure.
Yeah, they... Yeah.
So they've gone for the least...
Yeah, the brackets sort of indicate credit, so it's we're into accounts, they land on the 11th next end, so sorry about that.
No.
We will think about seeing if we can make the presentation more consistent in future.
Okay.
Just, I had a question actually. I've highlighted it in red here on my iPad. If you go to page 29, and we've been through this one, so here's the thing. If you were a layperson, mm-hmm. you didn't know anything any further. Page 29, bottom chart. And you look at garden waste collections. You would think that the council wouldn't be increasing garden waste bins, the brown bins, in any of those years. But if you read the brackets, but then you go to page 32, which it refers to, you can see there's a substantial increase, 250,000, 260,000 and 270,000 lined up for increased charges. And I don't understand why we aren't transparent as a council. Why do we put it in a chart and label it as it's not going up because all the four figures are the same?
Oh,
yet, in a different page, on a different chart, we're saying that actually it's going to go up by 250,000, it's going to go up by 260,000, and it's going to go up by 270,000.
The reason is to set out, and this comes from the peer challenge, and the presentation could be improved, no doubt. But the reason is the peer challenge asked us to what our transformation, our efficiency plans were,
mm.
and what we were doing to mitigate our financial challenges.
Mm.
So rather than present things or aggregate the impact of garden bins within, I guess in reality, rather than aggregate it within the top line of the MTFS, so we could, in a way,
that isn't a transformation to me. Just to stop you short there, putting £2 extra on a bin isn't a transformation. It's
transformation and efficiency. So,
but it's
increased
not
charges.
It's an increase. It's not only an efficiency.
Right, okay.
An efficiency is something if you do it better, and you get the same cost for it, but you're doing it better.
Yeah, but not increasing just your charges. And it does say generated through increased garden waste charges.
Yeah.
Yes.
Page 32.
So
yeah, the figures are the same.
Mm. So that's, you know, it's one of those where we're actually, that figure on 12/14 is the budget year, but the one on 12/4/2019/20 should be 14/64.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, again, it's a presentational thing. So if we were to do it like that, what we would then do is on table 11, we wouldn't have the line of transformation and efficiency plan in many ways. We would just have it all subsumed within the top line, which is a presentational point I will accept.
Yeah,
but what we wanted to show in this presentation as part of the response to the peer challenge was that we wanted to show that we were doing things and increasing in fees and charges, so maybe it's not reflecting transformation and efficiency in title, but increasing fees and charges is part of what we're doing too.
I know the lead member isn't here, but if he was here, that increase in garden bins, the percentage increase, has been the biggest thing that people have thought about the financial aspects of this council in this last year.
Yeah.
The garden bins have gone up, and it's by an astronomical amount. It's not that they don't want to pay it. It's just that one year it was 29 and now this year it's 40. And to them it's a big increase.
And if it's not direct, it's 45.
Exactly. So it's just one of those where, you know, if we're going to take it to £42 or £43, let's just say it, let's be clear about it, and not hide it in the report somewhere. Thank you, that was just a comment on presentation. Sorry, is there anybody else, any other questions on this budget paper?
Yeah, just one final thing. At the last full council meeting, when it was the budget meeting, the cabinet lead made a comment about, well, we've had budget scrutiny meetings and you lot on the other side never criticised or made any comment, so we didn't think we had a problem with it. So while I'm going through all of this and it's a learning curve and I find it very interesting, I wouldn't like the impression given that certainly as Labour members that we actually support what's happening here, because it's the 9th austerity budget, or it will be. So I'd just like it on record so that comment isn't thrown at us again at the budget meeting, that we are sitting here because we're doing our job as councillors, but that doesn't mean to say that we actually agree. It's not a criticism of officers at all, right? But as politically, you know, I find it very difficult what is happening, and the fact that we're using so many reserves and everything just shows the situation local government's in. So I just want that on record, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes. Is there any other questions? I've got one further question for the
fight. I have one as well.
Jeff, go to go.
Mine's just something I missed in the service expenditures. The outturn this year for interest paid was 325,000, and going forward in the NPFS we're at 240,000. What have we done? I should remember, but what have we done to reduce that so significantly? So in the outturn account 17-18, we paid 325,000 interest,
right,
and we're predicting from 18-19 onwards that's going to be 240,000. And I can't remember what it is we've done to make for such a large adjustment in interest paid.
Okay, I don't know what's in last year. I know going forward that we've got one loan of 200, and we've got one loan of, I think it's 2 million, which has a fixed rate interest amount of 240,000 pounds a year. So that's what's in the MTFS. I wouldn't know what was in the outturn, so it is possible that we did incur interest on short-term loans or other items, but I would have to actually look at what those other items are. The core of what we pay interest on is this long-term.
Can we clarify that? Because it's just quite a reason. It's volatility. The outturn was 325 last year. On interest paid.
What page are you looking at?
I'm looking at the outturn account on my screen. 17-18, it's not in here. I'm looking at the outturn account. That's one of the reasons we've got to come multi-documented to compare it.
Yeah, investments.
One of the things
I
think
are we okay with that, Jeff?
I'd like the answer. What makes up the extra 85,000?
Just number the points that Jeff has made. In future, it might be useful if we had like the previous year, and then we're looking at the current and the next, so that we can look back.
What
so we're not just
was.
Looking ahead, but we're looking at what the last year was, and I think that would be more useful for us as a committee. Just the layout, I think it would be more useful.
I kind of agree. I've said things similar in the past, but my only issue is we do have the information, and I know it is incumbent upon us to bring that information together. So, you know, because otherwise we'd end up reports with multiple columns.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If I want last year's MTFS and this year's MTFS, that's six columns straight away. I want the last year's outturn, that's seven columns. I'm looking at where we are, predictions for this year, that's eight columns.
Oh.
The thing just grows. And I'm not saying we have a responsibility to bring what we need, and I need lots of paper and screens in front of me for comparisons, and to bring that, and that's why you can see straight away, because we don't have last year's MTFS.
Yeah.
But I've got it, and I'm not being clever on it, but I've got it here. That immediately brings out the stark comparisons on the year-on-year for the 2 years that cross over from last year's MTFS and this year's.
That would be a cut and paste.
And similarly, the outturn accounts give you where we are for 17-18.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get a written answer on that one.
I think it's just occurred to me, actually. I don't know quite what document you're...
I'm looking at the outturn account.
Look, I don't know, does that include the HRA as well?
General fund revenue outturn summary.
Okay,
it's just the general fund.
So there is interest payable, so this excludes the housing revenue account. So
this is just the general fund as well.
It's just
like
the
life.
Fund.
Yeah. Just on the housing revenue account, because my question relates to that one, is that we were going to get a paper or a presentation of how the council's going to pay back the interest payments on and then the eventual capital on the money that we borrowed against the housing stock. It's a substantial amount of money, but in the text it's read that work is on hold, so we're not going to get that presented. So can I ask for when that would be presented?
I'll give a written answer to that. I think it's in train. I think there was some uncertainties about the government regulations on rent and high value boards. So I think they're now resolved, actually. Okay. So on that basis, we're now working on the 30-year business plan, which actually which essentially does answer that question, and we'll come to cabinet actually. So that will be a report that you will get as a matter of
the course. The reason I raise it is that is the biggest debt. I know it's against housing stock and it's manageable, but it is the biggest debt that the council has. Mm-hmm. And I know interest rates are only 3/4% now, but maybe 5 years down the line there might be a lot higher than they are now, and before you know it, if the interest rates aren't fixed, it could snowball to a moment's figure. If we have to refinance it.
They are fixed, I'll leave that for the paper, but the interest rates are fixed, so actually we haven't got exposure to increased interest rates.
Brilliant, thank you for that. Any further questions or anything we're not sure about on this paper or the process? Thank you very much, everybody. Our next meeting date has changed, and it's the 12th of December now.
A couple of things on that. So I've obviously got minutes of your discussions, which I will write up if I'm the minutes. Okay. There are a number of options in terms of what you want to do with them. Mm-hmm. You can, if you wish, make an interim report to the cabinet just on the MTFS.
Mm-hmm.
If there's things of sufficient that you think are of sufficient concern in terms of the cabinet agreeing the MTFS, obviously everything will come together in your final report. Mm-hmm. Early in the new year, but you could, if you wish, make specific recommendations to cabinet on the MTFS. I think we'd sort of you had sort of come to the view that you would wish the minutes of this meeting to go to the lead member.
Mm-hmm.
For him to respond to as well.
Yeah.
Which you can then include in your report.
Mm-hmm.
As necessary, depending on what those responses are. So have I got the second bit right, and do you want to do anything regarding the first part?
Okay, the second bit I think you've got right. I think we should forward the minutes or when they're available to the lead member, so they haven't got any no reason not to read them, let's say.
Yeah. And not just sent to him, making the point that as a committee we were very disappointed that he didn't attend.
Mm.
And we're drawing to his attention not only these minutes
but the previous
minutes, where there's a large number of issues and questions that were raised, and we'd like a response from him as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And that could be in writing, so that would need to be back by the interim report for the cabinet meeting.
Mm-hmm. The 15th.
Yeah.
So then the first part of the proposal is that, is there anything that we want to give to that, in that cabinet meeting, because that would be the 15th, because we don't meet until now December. So is there anything in this MTFS? There's only one thing that I, apart from the dangers of using reserves and all the rest of it and funding economic situation, but also, call me remiss, and that is something I was going to raise, but there's no mention about Brexit in this and the impact that Brexit may have on March
29th.
Brexit. But there isn't, you know, in this MTFS document as a potential.
That's true.
But there isn't. And it's one of the most seismic things that is probably going to happen to between now and the 3 years of this MTFS expiring. But there isn't a mention about it and the economic impact that it may potentially have on the borough, whatever that may be. But, you know, we're not the experts here, our officers are the experts. But you'd think there'll be a warning there or a financial warning there.
That's what businesses are doing.
They're
drawing up a plan.
Yeah.
So
what is the plan? Yeah. If, because, you know, what happens? We'd have to adhere to the Ouija rules, maybe.
What's
the
Ouija board?
Ouija rules. Ouija rules. Ouija rules. But you know what I mean. But there's no. And the second part is, I think they're hiding increased charges in transformation. And I think that's not it should, you know, let's be honest, if you're going to increase charges, say you're going to increase charges.
Right.
Don't hide it in the small print.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. But is there anything else that members wanted to...
So are they comments?
We haven't drafted anything yet. This is comments to the board members here.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So they can either agree with me or not agree.
I agree with the charges.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be hidden within something else. That might be just the way accounts are done. I don't know.
No, it's purely a presentation. It's purely
presentation,
a presentational feature. That is.
Yeah. Elsewhere, you'd have charges shown separately to transformation.
Mm.
I disagree with the first part. I think the only possible place you could ever reference Brexit with our bits and pieces would be in the Treasury, the annual Treasury summary, because you might be able to argue that Brexit might have an effect on share prices, which might have an effect on interest rates received. So I would countenance a comment of that nature within a review of the Treasury position, but nothing else.
But that's
the second point is our view of the world, and we need to pay our way, and we need to provide value for money services for people. We need to hold to account those people making the decisions. Money does not grow on trees. People like you and me pay taxes, and we pay those taxes, and we contribute to the country, and as an area I want to be a contributor. I don't want to be a recipient of other people's money. I don't like receiving other people's money. I want to be able to earn enough, pay enough tax, and give money to the country, not be a recipient. And I think we should. I think that comes back to a bigger issue around what is the direction of travel of local government, what is the philosophy and direction of local government. If you want to just spend money, You provide the statutory services, nothing else. If you want to do good, you're venturing into space.
Yeah.
You're venturing
into
that space. So I make those observations.
No, that's fine. That's okay. But on as an interim, is there anything that we wanted? Is there anything that we've seen?
I just think it's the minutes and the response from the cabinet lead, and they need to pay attention to it.
The bits I quite like. It's probably something that Jeff was alluding to, but in a very long-minded way, was the new venture and the commercialism and going out to commercial waste. I think we do need to be more outward-looking and to see other areas where we could generate income. And I think we've just lost something with the Bring sites because we didn't follow that up with, well, we could just give you the same service, but it will cost you this much from us. You know, we still could have done it and made a profit out of it, but instead we decided not to make a loss. But they still need, a small one, but we could have made it into a small profit.
And
because,
could have that service as well.
Yeah, because they've all, I mean, I had to, my four pubs that had Bring sites have now got four skips from a particular company, and they're making profit out of it. We could have made that profit. You know, and I think that was an opportunity missed there.
Maybe that's a comment. That's one of those comments.
Yeah.
We've got two or three.
Yeah.
I know we've just about finished meeting, and I forgot to mention Lime and Stepo, because can you remember Cabinet put aside £50,000 to do a feasibility study for Lime and Stepo? And it's mentioned here on page 7, actually, about Lime and Stepo and keeping it open now. Well, not keeping it open because it's closed, but keeping it within the council agreement to then utilise it. And if the lead member was here, I was thinking, what's the thinking and what's changed between authorising £50,000 to be spent to, you know, look at what can be done, to now saying actually we could keep it and do provide council services from that space.
Does that really talk? Is that a question that could be formulated?
Sorry, what page is that?
Page 7.
Page 7 of our.
It's the blurb.
27, did you say?
No, seven.
Seven.
Just
seven.
Page 7.
That little 7.
Mm. No. Little 4, big 7.
Isn't that in the minutes?
Yeah, it's still there, though. Line is there.
No. I'm looking at page 7. Oh, wait a minute, it was a page 4 there. Which sort of 7?
So it's
big page 7.
Big page 7,
yeah.
item 5.
Yeah. Oh, 5. I thought you said 4. Little
apologies.
4. Oh, little 4 as in page 4. Yeah. I was looking at Roman
4. Oh, Roman 4, apologies. Anyway, that's
too many
that's singing. But that's the beauty of having, I know we're on record, of having a lead member there. You can ask those kind of questions. Yeah. And not having that person there or. And that's it. And Brendan, it works well at county, doesn't it? We have always had the lead member present there. You can ask them the question. And they're, you know, forthright as they can be, you know, in their political capacity.
But you've got to think, look at it as a different way as well, because they can hear our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whatever those thoughts may be, mm-hmm. Can make an impression and stay with them and probably formulate MTS for next year.
Mm-hmm.
It can also make for a more constructive budget council meeting because you've cleared and you've got a lot of misunderstandings or, you know, things that have been sorted in advance.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, thank you very much. So just
Michael, back
in sort of process for your next meeting.
Right. Yeah.
So, as you said, you, at your last meeting, you changed how you wanted to do the December and January meetings, mm-hmm. and changed the date. So your meeting is slightly later than you would have done,
yeah.
so that you can consider the draft budgets at your December meeting. Mm-hmm. Now,
could I just ask you when it was in November?
It was in December.
Oh, it was
December the 4th.
Originally, but that was a bit too early
My
for
birthday.
The draft budget.
Oh, it's not on the diary anyway. Then. Mm-hmm. I've got now the 12th there.
Yeah. So, the cabinet.
Are all report, heads of services coming to this meeting?
They're all have it in their diaries.
Yeah.
So the idea is that, as you discussed at your previous meeting, so the cabinet report will be published on the 30th mm-hmm. of November,
yeah.
and then to give you some time to identify topics and invitees
via email.
Via email.
The file first, yeah.
Yeah. And then I can sort of invite if there are areas that you don't want to have a look at, then
okay.
we can have all of the heads of service.
When we get to the November the 30th, once it's published,
yeah.
the agenda's published and the draft budget's published, would you then formulate that email
yeah.
To us all, to the five of us? We can have a look at the budget papers over the weekend
yeah.
And then respond back to Michael, CCing all of us into it to say, look, this is of interest. I'd like to invite this lead member in potentially. Do the rest of us agree? Because we could have all of them in, but I'd rather we narrowed it down as much as possible.
Could we warn them prior to that of the date?
That's been done.
That you could be summoned.
Yes. Summoned, yes. In front of
it. Well, it says that, doesn't
but
it?
But we won't know
council.
Until we get.
Presumably, OSG would also have the opportunity to call it in on the Monday.
Yeah, but they will not get the benefit of calling in all the lead members and all the rest of it and formulate questions because they'll just see it cold. They'll see it on the Friday and then they'll just talk about it on the Monday.
Yeah, their meeting's not till the 10th, though, so they're a week delayed. So the OSG meeting in December is on the 10th, we're on the 12th, and Cabinet's on the 13th. So OSG, presumably, and again, this is where we'll be coordinating scrutiny appropriately across the committees in the right way,
mm.
Which should be one of the eventual outcomes of the review, we would be able to coordinate our activity between this group and OSG for certain aspects.
But that's if OSG call in the draft budget, they may not. They may just leave that to us as the draft scrutiny budget panel. I think that would make probably more sense if they utilise their resources in other areas of the agenda and with the draft budget scrutiny panel and we looked at the draft budget. I think that would make more sense. Okay. Michael, so you've got some steer there then, thank you. And then we can decide who to call it. If it is that, we call everybody in, if it's two or three members. So,
yeah. The only comment and the only issue I would raise with you is that, as I understand it procedurally, OSG warrants a response from the Cabinet meeting. Budget scrutiny on the Wednesday doesn't warrant a response from the Cabinet meeting.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I asked the question earlier on about did you want to send something to Cabinet as a result of this meeting? Because you have the right to make recommendations to the Cabinet after each of your meetings, a sort of interim report. The way that the panel works is that at the end of your work, a report will be submitted to the February Cabinet meeting alongside its consideration of the budget that it wants to recommend to Council, with all of your findings and recommendations. But that will happen anyway, because that's the process, but it doesn't preclude you at any point making interim recommendations to the Cabinet if you think that it's necessary or timely to do so.
Okay. So, if we're happy with that, I don't think there's anything further we're going to send interim to Cabinet after the meeting.
We've not made any recommendations, no. We've only commented.
Comments, yeah, that's right.